Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Today's episode is number 468. And as you can tell by my somber tone, we're going to talk about serious stuff today. We're going to discuss Redfin being bought by Rocket Mortgage. And we're also, if we have time, going to discuss some of Open Door's growing problems. We're really excited to get into this conversation. Before we start, though, we're going to give you a little bit of an introduction in case you happen to be a listener that hasn't yet met myself or Jonathan Denwood. Now, my partner in this podcast, Jonathan, is a longtime entrepreneur. He's an import from the UK, and I'm talking decades ago. It's not
I'm going to be tariffs pretty soon.
And then they've got a lot of rules there that aren't the same as ours. And he's always kind of had a little bit of a feather in his cap as it relates to Redfin. And I got to say, I have some things to say about yet another large portal being acquired by yet another conglomerate. So before we go any further, John, why don't you just give people a little bit of your own summary about who you are? And, you know, let's continue the wind up towards the main event.
Thanks, Robert. I'm the joint founder of mail-right.com, MailRight, and we're a CRM, a lead generative platform with a website, with a load of functionality, and we start month to month at $49. So we're totally affordable, and it's just a great platform with a load of functionality. Go over to the website, have a read of what we offer, be blown away, and book a chat with me. Back over to you, Robert.
All right. So my name is Robert Newman. I'm a lifetime sales guy, lifetime storyteller, multiple founder, started quite a few companies. Inbound REM, which I started 9 years ago, is a nod to some things I saw in the real estate industry that needed to be addressed. A company that was SEO first, inbound marketing first, affordable, in comparison to other SEO companies, and a few other things. But if you want to learn something about real estate, part of inbound marketing is giving away as much of your knowledge as you can for free. And I've done that. 35 years of experience, 16 of it in the real estate world. Go to my website. I guarantee you will learn something you need to learn about digital marketing. All right, without any further ado, we are going to walk into our main topic today, which is talking about the acquisition of Open Door by Rocket Mortgage. Okay. My guy, John, has always done this incredible job on doing show notes. See, if any of you are just listening to the show and thinking that there's no value to going to, you know, somewhere where we've written, you're wrong. You really should go see what John has written, where he got his research from. We're going to start off with the history of Redfin and its founders, David Aracker, Michael Doherty, and David Seling. And if you can do me a favor, John, I didn't do the research. I mean, I have some knowledge, as you all know, but I didn't really read up on this. So if you could just start us off and kind of give us what your thoughts are in a summary kind of way about these three founders in this company.
Well, a lot of them come from Stanford University. They were into tech. They built some functionality when they started Redfin. You probably would be better to pass some comment about some of that tech, some like the map feature and some other features that were quite semi-revolutionary. Mm-hmm. I think or semi better than what was offered. And then they brought on a good old Glenn into the mix, who has been the president and CEO of Redfin and the public face for quite a long time. I call him the laughing hyena myself. He's always got a grin. And that's it. Techie people who provided some great tech, but also a very flawed business model, in my opinion.
Yeah. So I agree with most of that. So Redfin has always been, it was started by a group of tech guys. Here's my hot take. Started by a group of tech guys. They said correctly that there was a huge hole in the real estate market for services. And the guy that you mentioned that you said, oh, hey, maybe you can add some more. He was a data mining guy. And so he probably thought correctly that data could be used so much better. He also thought that correctly, because he had come from Amazon, that most likely data could be collected and used for the betterment of the brand much better. And that he saw very few people doing that correctly with real estate. Unfortunately for him, there were a couple of other guys that had these really big ideas that have been tried inside real estate countless times and have never really worked. And that is this idea that real estate agents can be very salary compensated salespeople with this, with a single standard of service across every marketplace for people that are buying and selling homes. And that might have worked if the idea of buying and selling homes hadn't been established so well inside the market as an open field of opportunity for top sales reps. And why does that matter? Anytime you give, many markets are actually dominated by small businesses. We just don't think of it that way, John. Like, we don't look at it that way. But like, I'll give you an example. There are a couple of fields of sales here in LA, in Beverly Hills specifically, that have been dominated by some incredibly aggressive, talented, organized small business owners. We know them by their name. So we think of them as agents, like Joyce Ray. Joyce Ray has a staff of 13 people that support her. She is a small business owner. And when one of her clients calls her, her team of 13 goes into action. You're not going to take away her business based on a 1% model. There's nobody that can match the speed, style, privacy that her team offers the right client. And therein we run into the challenges with these 1% models. Everybody's seen, like, there are tons of agents out there that say, I can do the same service for 1% of your commission instead of 3%. And the client will save that 2%. And since they're getting the same service, they'll love me. It's just not true. It's just not true, unfortunately, for those 1%ers. You need profit to add value to your business mechanism. Or at least great salespeople, great business owners do that. They take the money that they make and reinvest it into the business. Sound familiar, John?
Yes.
Okay. And so for some reason, everybody, like, the second you start treating a service like a commodity, flat rate it, you're going to get a service that is a commodity. And nobody's, Redfin, nobody figured out that model yet. And so there's a lot of brokenness inside the model. Does it surprise me that Redfin has been acquired for $1.75 billion? You know, it's basically, which is a pittance in today's world. It's a pittance. Redfin has been raising money, doing flipping, doing all this different stuff for years. So $1.57 billion, it would be the baby of all the deals that we're going to see as the real estate industry continues to consolidate. And I don't have much to comment on except that I use Rocket for my finances. Rocket is a very smart tech-driven company. I think this deal is great for Rocket and completely terrible for anybody and everybody that's ever been involved with Redfin. That's
well, they haven't done too bad in the sale. The major stockholders, and I'm sure Glenn's done, and some of the founders have done okay. I just think, you know, that they were having problems with their business model from day one. The website, you'd probably be better off. I think there's the figure of 50 million uniques to the website. Mm-hmm. But their business model, it was failing. So then they got into wholesaling, didn't they? They got into the same craze as we're going to be talking about Opendoor and Zillow. Got in iBuyer. They all piled in on the COVID years into wholesaling, and they were doing really great because everybody that piled into wholesaling were doing nice. But when the dam broke, they've been slaughtered basically, because it's back again to a broken business model, as you so clearly outlined. So they had nowhere to go really. Their hope was that interest rates were going to be slashed, and it was back to a booming market that would discuss, and they could go back to their old wholesaling days.
Yeah.
And it looked like it's not happening. So, and Glenn, Mr. Smiley, as I call him, always got a grin on his face as he's cutting your throat. it's just a really broken business model. But I know maybe we can discuss in the second half, really a totally different company. Both Redfin, had a broken business model. Rocket is, has had its ups and downs with the regulators. But obviously Glenn wasn't a founder, but there couldn't, in my mind, be two different individuals than Glenn and Dan Gilbert. Whatever you think of Dan, and I have different thoughts about Dan Gilbert, he didn't start with nothing, but my God, he didn't start with much. And to say that he achieved a lot in his lifetime, he's still alive. I still think he's reasonably active in the business to some extent. It's a story that could only happen in America, really. But he's a very controversial businessman, isn't he?
Yeah.
But you've got to respect him in some ways, haven't you?
You do indeed. And let's talk, we're going to open up the subject. We're going to stop a few minutes into it, but we're going to talk a little bit about what went wrong with Redfin's business model, which is a subject that John has included as part of the show notes. But guys, I got to tell you, everybody that's listening to the show, this is a controversial opinion. And the reason that I have this opinion, you can summarize everything that I thought was wrong with Redfin by the last and closing sentence on Glenn Kelman's LinkedIn profile, which is basically, I've done everything there is to do at startups except for be in sales. That is on his own LinkedIn profile. And it shows people that hate salespeople are the people that create models that are one percenters. And the reason that they always do it is because they don't understand sales. It's very similar between democracy and commercialism and communism. And unfortunately, it doesn't work. That's the problem, because great salespeople want to be compensated in great ways. And the minute you figure out that you're great, or that you're working five times as hard as the other sales guys on the same lot, you're going to leave. And that is the problem. You can't keep great salespeople in flat business models, and you want the great salespeople servicing your customers. So let's talk about a little bit about your hot take. You linked an article that was what went wrong with Redfin Rocket Mortgage acquisition. It was an article on Housing Wire, which can occasionally be behind a paywall.
I'm sorry about that. Sometimes it's under the firewall and sometimes it isn't, is it?
Yeah. So, but why don't you share your thoughts on this?
I can understand, what I would like to get your input from is that you can understand why Rocket has bought it, because of the traffic they're getting. And I'm surprised, even though Rocket is the second largest mortgage company in the US, I'm going by my research and my memory, it's still only got 4% of the market. So it's still a very diverse market. I'm going to say something. I'm not totally sure I'm correct, but normally them buying something like Redfin and they're going to get into regular, the government is going to get heavy quick with them. But in the present political environment, I don't think that's going to happen for the foreseeable future. So I don't see the heat coming on Rocket that hard. So I can see the logic for Rocket doing this, because whatever you think of Dan Gilbert and his team, they're not idiots. They're far from it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, you know, I think what you've just said about Redfin and the attitude of the president and the CEO is correct, but they're not idiots, but I think they fed on their own dog food, as I would put it. The thing with Rocket's had its problems, hasn't it? You know, it's had its brushing. A lot of mortgage companies have had their brush with the government, and the organisations of government, and they look at the numbers that hit the website, and they think they think they can do something with Redfin, and Redfin's agents will recommend Rocket as their mortgage company. I think Redfin's business model is so awful. I'm not too sure about that. I'd just be interested in your thoughts about that.
I'm going to share them when we come back from break. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, I'm going to go through some of the statistics and some of the things that this Housing Wire article, which I just sped read as we were on the show. But full transparency, the article said what I basically said, just in more detail, and gave more numbers, more stats. Some of the stats I found to be really revelatory. I didn't know them. I didn't know the stats. I knew the business model brokenness, but it led to some really interesting numbers. So stay tuned, and we're going to walk through those.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRite. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay, get started today. Go to mail-write.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 468. And we're talking about this acquisition of Redfin by Rocket Mortgage. And before we went to break, I was saying that I would cover some numbers. So the article in Housing Wire basically agreed with me. They said that effectively that this model was broken. Now, that model being broken led to some very interesting numbers. In 2021, Redfin's agent count fell by 22.5%. In the same year, the real brokerage went up by 1,173%, Fathom Realty by 136%, Compass by 78%, eXp by 64%. All of these are newer companies in growth, in the middle of their growth phase. But honestly, the number one reason that was listed by top performers at Redfin for leaving was they felt like their income was capped. Exactly what I just said. And so they lost not just agents, they lost their best agents. That's a problem for any sales organization. When you have when you're doing large scale like sales, if you can't keep your best people, that's an antithesis for a mediocre company at best, if not just a downright massive failure. Another thing about their model was, since everybody was on W-2s, it created a much higher cost that had nothing to do with production. So the header for the way that this article says that there was no room for error financially speaking, but honestly, compensation based on performance business models mean that all of your salespeople take the hit when the economy is slow? Generally, John, because I've done nothing but sales my entire life, you lose your top lower 80% sales agents. You keep your top 20%. So then you think about that, because your top 20% figure out a way to produce. They take a hit in their income, but they do figure out a way to produce, which means both the business and the agents succeed. And you're not pressuring the agents to stay. They are looking at the career that they built for themselves and saying, I can still make some money. And so they go out and they do it. The lower 80% can't make money because they were never great salespeople and weren't hustling to start with. So they leave and they really impact the business very little. So the thing that the business does by itself with these compensation models is it stays in operation, it loses its money, but its top salespeople stay. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
W-2 models don't do that. And they've got to support the cost of lower performing salespeople in bad marketplaces. And that's what happened with Redfin. According to this article, and I agree, like that's what it basically said. Last but not least, and this is probably the most important part that the Housing Wire article covers, lower commissions meant little to clients. I'm going to say that again. I know you know this, John, so it's really for the people in the back seats of this podcast. Lower commission made very little difference to clients. That means at the end of the day, the 1-2% that clients saved did not mean very much to them, especially when it started to come into elements of service. But why? For that 1-2% you're paying a top salesperson, your experience could be as much as 80% better. John, and people like us break our fucking asses for your 5-star review. We do, because, and it bothers us. It intellectually grabs us because we care. Whereas poor salespeople, or even average salespeople, either don't pay attention, that and I'm being kind, or they don't care, and now I'm not being kind. And it doesn't matter, because somebody who's vested in their business cares a lot. Like, John, do you care? Like you've done crazy things for 5-star reviews, right? I have. Have you?
I've ridden a pony for a 5-star.
Yeah, and I've eaten thousands of dollars worth of business operating expenses to either get, keep, or maintain a good review profile. Like, there's no level, which means that the client who was legitimately unhappy or thought that they deserved something, they never would have gotten it from me if I hadn't been paying attention to my online reputation. And this is the difference between maybe an average company or a low performing company and a high performing company. And it does make a difference to the customer.
So can we get on? Why do you think it's obvious? Why do you think Rocket bought it? Because they're not idiots. Dan and his crew, they're not. Obviously there's synergy, but also I might be totally wrong. They think that, and you know, in the articles I've read, that they think they can cut the cost base down enormously as well.
Oh, they will.
But they also, do you think they also feel, because they've done it in the mortgage, though, you know, they've managed to get people to buy mortgages online. I think they might also think that they can do something with the fundamental model. And they you can't discount them, because if they didn't, they got away from the particular restraints of the particular business model of Redfin, they do have the experience and the ability, I would have thought, to do something.
Now, what I'm saying about Redfin, which is basically, listen, you've talked about it a lot. I'm going to give these guys the error margin, like just a margin of error. These entrepreneurs who started it were just inexperienced, didn't know what the hell they were doing. And I'm just going to say that they were woefully underskilled for the thing that they did. They brought it to life and they did something, and that's more than most people do. So I say that with a grain of salt. But the guy that runs Rocket is a beast of a different color. He knows exactly what he's doing. I have a lot to say about Rocket that is all good.
You know, I just interrupt. There's a term in North London for people like Dangert, Gilbert. We call them monster mashes. He's a monster mash. That's a North London. It's an endearment. It means that he's a monster. He's somebody that if you go up against him, you don't really want to do it. You got to really think serious before you go up against Dan Gilbert.
And that is, that is... So there's a few different things. Number one, Rocket bought in a perfectly timed market acquisition. Let's not ignore that fact. Redfin was in the middle of absorbing losses due to yet another massive shift in the real estate market, eating it, taking it on the chin. They had made some changes in the business that are likely we're going to continue to see benefit from, such as Redfin Next, which is them going back to a traditional compensation model. The problem is you've got 12 years of history, or however long it's been, where they built a company up under a different model. And once you've got that kind of pace, the only way to really shake things up is to start another brand or let somebody acquire you. That's exactly what happened here. Rocket acquired the company, is going to rebrand and probably drop everything into a regular compensation model. But on top of all of that, they got the company to steal, John. $1.75 billion? Are you joking me? Like, Compass raised $7 billion out of the gate. Like, this is ridiculous. It's a pittance. And they bought the company with that pittance, and they now have a search portal. They now have a sales force. They now have market synergies with their mortgage company. It was brilliant move by Rocket. Brilliant. And it's going to add so much value. Not to mention, I don't know that anybody else has noticed this, but the logo and branding between Rocket and Redfin is already similar. Like, it was just a genius move on Rocket's part. And then it gives these guys like Glenn and other people like him, like, they can gracefully sunset out and become, you know, like all the other second tier players in the tech space. You know, I have $500 million, and let me throw it into other things and maybe they'll get lucky, because they're not, you know, which is what happened to the guys, the PayPal mafia. You know, there's a lot of second tier entrepreneurs, and then there's Elon Musk, you know, who is truly driving innovation, no matter what you say about him, driving innovation and things like that. Glenn Kelman needs to be retired. So, cause he swings and misses a lot. So let the guy retire. Varun needs some room to run. So, and he's going to get it. That's my overall opinion. Like, he's really going to get his room to run.
The other important thing is regulation, because I think Rocket, with blending the two businesses, would, but it's still a very fragmented business. So their market share, but I think they would have some normally, but I think in the present climate, they're not going to get it. Shall we finish off with Open Door? Another great success story. Sorry.
This has been our primary podcast. We're going to give you some bonus content today. So John did, we had a lot to say about Redfin. And for those of you who are, you know, watching this on YouTube, do us a favor, take a moment, take a beat, take a breath, and give us a thumbs up on if you liked what we've done. If you like John's content, if you like the research, the show notes, all the things that we did, trying to just give you a little bit of information to apply here. Now, we're going to talk about Open Door. I actually know a lot more about Open Door because I'm a member of the Motley Fool, and Motley Fool talks about Open Door all the time. So I'm much more familiar with what's going on with Open Door than I was with Redfin. If you'd like to reach out to you, though, John, how would you like people to do that?
I'll just go to the mail-right.com website, have a look at what we got. You'll be blown away. And just book a chat with me, and I'd love to show you what MailRight offers. Back over to you, Rob.
And if you'd like to know more about SEO long form, like kind of like inbound strategies that where people passively come to you, If you're interested in to see how I think marketing is being shifted in the information age, go to inboundrem.com. Read any of our articles, or if you really have liked what you heard on the show today, if you want to just gab about these real estate portals, go ahead and schedule a call with me. I'd be happy to share my thoughts in more detail. We're going to move on to Opendoor, which, if for those of you that don't know, is a company that simply acquisitioned homes and then sold them on a platform. That's the really basic part of Opendoor. And everybody loved the business model so much, they jumped in on it, including Redfin, including Zillow, and then everybody, for the most part, has retreated out of that industry except for Opendoor, which is the biggest one. There's still a couple of other players, but Opendoor is the biggest player. So with that opening, let's get into, John, why did you even include them at the end of the podcast?
Well, I just thought it was just insightful. You know, I've over the last couple of years, I've had little comments about Redfin, haven't I? I've been diligent in my kicking of them, haven't I? But Opendoor, every mother, I was going to swear there, has got into this model, you know, wholesaling, you know, where, you know, you've got the convenience, but people, their biggest purchase, most people's biggest purchase, do they really want to give you 30 plus of their equity in one of their biggest assets of their life? Unless they're forced to, or it's a secondary asset, they're probably not, are they? But if the market's going up every month by 2-3%, you don't need so much margin, do you? Unless something fundamental changes in the economy, which you can't, in the interesting times that we live in, you can never discount. I really don't see things fundamentally getting better for Opendoor. What do you think?
All right. Transparently, everybody, I own some shares of Opendoor. All right. This is not investment advice. I think it was a disruptive business model. I think that there's space for it. I think this is just a horrible time for Opendoor to be around. Higher interest rates, an uncertain market, inventory problems. If you're looking for the highest priced car on the lot, John, of course you don't buy it off a website. Or if you do, you want to walk into it and look at it. Like when interest rates are this high, real estate is not commoditized. Wow, do you ever, like, even a crappy home in my neighborhood costs so much money, I can't buy it off a website. Like, there's certain markets where you could, maybe still, not many though, Virginia, West Virginia, we could still buy something for $150,000. Sure, maybe Opendoor would work there. Like, but where most markets are so incredibly overpriced. However, having said all that, what do I think? I think there's room and space, and I think just like everything else, I think that homes will be bought off a website as technology catches up. I think that virtual tours with headsets and things like that, I think we're walking into an age where a lot of people want to buy sight unseen, or at least use, and if Opendoor really had some forward-thinking members there, they would do open door showrooms where you could walk in and use these headsets and basically create a mechanism in which you could buy a lot of inventory online. And I do think that the model is there, and I think Opendoor is the leader. I don't know that they're going to survive. The reason I bought them is they're dirt cheap and they have some kind of momentum. I'm not even saying that it's an endorsement. It's probably one of the riskiest proposals for the $100 I have vested. Like that I have in my entire portfolio, because they also could announce they're going out of business tomorrow, and I wouldn't be surprised. Now, so,
well, you can tell you're a good salesperson because you almost sold it to me, and I follow the logic, and I admire your sales ability, yours, because basically I want to give it a kick in. Yeah, I think it's a rabid, as we would say in London, it's a rabid dog. It needs putting down.
I understand. I understand the thoughts. I understand where it's at, but I don't agree with the if it's not them, it's gonna if if it's not them, it will be someone else. And I believe that with all of my heart, John, or I wouldn't say it on the podcast.
I would never buy a house if I saw it. I would even consider it. But a lot of people, I think you're right. I think you're right. But it's just not my, it's just, I wouldn't do it. But I'm just an old geezer, so what do I know?
Well, age and wisdom tends to say that one of these most important decisions that you're going to make, you gotta do it. But you know what? Great salespeople always overcome those objections, such as sometimes rock solid guarantee, and if you don't like it, you can give it back to us. We give you $5,000 for the inconvenience. I can go on and on. There's always a way to overcome like somebody's reluctance if you have deep enough pockets and you're sure enough about your investment. Like, you know, and I'm certain that with the people that were running Open Door, they've got some of that going on. But ultimately speaking, I think that Open Door, for the most part, is probably something that most people, except for those of you who are most like, whether it's on the investment side or whether it's on the I need to buy a house side. Like, if you are a bleeding edge person with plenty of room for risk inside both your home buying life or your investment life, then this, I don't know, maybe you do look at it. I have plenty of room for risk, John, in both sides of my life. Like, I don't have a deep, and I kind of think there's like a 30 or 40% chance that this is a 100 times investment with how low the thing is trading.
Never know.
In terms of the real estate market, all we need is one big upset and Open Door will be back. Like, all we need. We need mortgage rates to come down. We need a little bit of it. We need the inventory to continue to spike up. And all of a sudden, and anything that pressures people to buy homes, which we haven't had since the pandemic, we're seeing the natural deflation of need based upon an overinflation of need a few years ago. And so I think that we're going to see and we have a wild card running policy in the US. So
that's a very diplomatic way of putting it, Rob.
Which is,
are you looking to go into politics, Rob?
No. Oh, no.
That was very
I love the fact that you put it this here. And for those of you who are listening and watching the show, listen, come on, man. Everybody engage with John and I. Call us up. Like, I'd love to hear what you think about Open Door. And you can't, you know, for those of you who are listening to the show, you can't go wrong with John's offer. If you're looking to make a move inside your marketing and your budget has reduced itself, but you still want a competent provider on the other end of the equation, call John. Call him, please. Because you can't go wrong with the offer that he's built for you right now. He's built an offer, changed his offer for the market at large. And for those of you who are more veterans and looking to maybe shift your budget from things that are no longer working, that are direct marketing advertising, I think that Inbound REM is a good place for you to look. And you can go to inboundrem.com and schedule a call with me. Having said all that, John, for me personally, this is a good place to wrap it. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
I just thought I'd come out with some good one-liners, monster mash, rabid dog. I thought it was my entertaining, wasn't it?
Hey, you did it at the perfect time. I actually introduced you as English this show.
We'll see you later, folks. Bye.
Bye.